Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Alameda, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back, live at Wildcat Golf Club. John and Lance, along with Dell, Coach Jeff Van Gundy here with us. Representing ProVision. He's given his time and raising money for ProVision. Pro-vision.org? Is that it? Pro-vision.org, I believe?
Yes.
I should know offhand.
Pretty sure.
I think
sure
that's
right,
it. John. Anyway, I'll look it up. Anyway, so let's talk a little bit about the soap opera that is our Houston Rockets this offseason, Coach. ProVision-Inc.org.
Right.
Provision.org.
I should be more technologically sound,
yeah,
but
right.
I'm really not.
Right.
So, for some reason, that doesn't surprise us.
But wait a minute.
Us.
What is this?
Yeah.
What
phone.
The heck is that?
No, listen,
that's not
guys.
A flip phone.
No, I upgraded.
What?
But
what?
I'm not an iPhone, but what's that called?
Galaxy?
Android or something?
Yeah. Or something. Yes, it's called an Android. So
when did you get that? Your this daughters must have made you. Yeah.
But then they were disappointed that I didn't get an iPhone, and they said I can't FaceTime now. I'm like, good.
Yeah,
like, why would I want to? Yeah.
Well, that's unbelievable. Look at you getting into like this salary.
Yeah, when did these come around? Like a couple years ago.
At least you're in this century.
Yeah, just started.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the soap opera that is our Houston Rockets. And I think you hit it best. It's just such a gigantic waste of time.
Well, none of it means anything in the big picture. It's all about how they play. And I think it's normal. Frustration seeps in when you don't accomplish what you hope to accomplish. And to get eliminated by the Warriors two consecutive years, one where, listen, 2 years ago they're up double digits at halftime in game 6 and 7. You miss 27 threes in a row. You think you're about to not only advance to the finals, but you're going to win a championship. If you beat the Warriors, you know, Cleveland wasn't very good. Mm-hmm. And they would have pounded Cleveland. So they were that close to winning a championship. And then this year, Durant goes out. You don't finish game 5 maybe the way you want. And then you lose game 6 to a team without Durant. Yeah, you're frustrated and you're disappointed. The idea that Harden and Paul, you know, Chris Paul, he's a strong personality, a very strong personality. And one of the lines that I read yesterday, and you don't know what's all true and what's not, but that, quote, James doesn't want to be coached by Chris Paul. And that's where players, like, you can't have your own way and win championships. You have to be willing to sacrifice something. And it may be a part of your game. It may be a part of your personality. But sacrifice is the number one component to great players getting together and winning big. And so if they're to win a championship, I would say both of them are going to have to give and seed some ground for the greater good. And to me, they have to take their direction from Mike D'Antoni, who is one of the most selfless leaders I've seen. You know, he just wants to win. I don't think necessarily if he was given his druthers, he would say, hey, you know what we want to do? We want to isolate a lot.
But he didn't in
Phoenix. No, he never did. But it's what gives them, in his opinion, their best chance to win. But if he comes back and says to the team in the fall, hey, we're going to isolate more, then Chris Paul's got to be all in. And if he says, hey, we're going to isolate less, then James Harden has got to be all in. It's all about sacrificing for the common good. And if your best players do it, then everybody falls in line.
And I think that's the real question is, will – I think there's a belief that it will not be met with if he asks – if they said, let's go towards more ball movement and less stationary isolation ball. I think the idea a lot of people have is that James is not going to be amenable to that. I think right now, I mean, you coached in the league. It is a player's league, and whoever the top dog is, and they're making a lot more now, you know, the Supermax stuff than ever before, a lot more exposure, a lot more brand. Their brands are this, their brands are that. If you don't have the lead guy, we saw Magic Johnson as a rookie. If they don't buy in, what do you do as a coach? What can you do? Unless you have a very strong front office who's willing to back you up.
Well, I think professional sports, you guys may agree or may not, every professional sport, it's about the players. And so I think the most important person in any organization is the guy that picks the players, right? So in the Rockets, it's Daryl Morey. And Daryl, Mike, and the best players, they don't have to see everything similarly, but they have to see the big things similarly, like the need to sacrifice. So Harden, when he was with Oklahoma City, he didn't isolate a lot.
No.
Nope. He played a lot of two-man game with Nick Collison coming off the bench. So to me, Harden, as the fourth pick in the draft, he already knows how to sacrifice. He did it at Oklahoma City. When he came to the Rockets initially, they didn't play an extraordinary amount of isolation. It sort of evolved through their personnel, through what has worked. Analytically, it has worked very well. I think the one thing that I would, just from the outside, you look at the mid-range jump shot, which a lot of teams say is a bad shot. I think the analytics in regular season and the analytics in the playoffs may not be exactly the same. And you watch the teams like Toronto who won or the Warriors who won previously, they shoot mid-range jump shots. Mm-hmm. Because at some point against the most elite defenses in a series, that may be what you have. And I think Chris Paul has given him variety in that way. I think James Harden should shoot a couple a game just so that he has that in his back pocket when they're taking away the rim and they're taking away the three-point line.
But, okay, so James Harden with Oklahoma City, though, he's not that guy. I mean, he came off the bench then. He ain't that guy anymore.
Thank goodness he's
not
that.
But he's tasted this drug of isolation. He could have won three MVPs already. He could have won.
Arguments
and maybe
can be
should
made.
Have yeah. Maybe should have won three MVPs already. So he's got this. This is what
I am. Can I speak to that? And I agree with you. But I would say this. We're talking about isolation in a negative sense. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like everybody now talks about isolation like it should all be ball movement. But with all the switching that goes on in the NBA today, if you don't have guys who can beat people off the dribble like Harden, then you're going to struggle. His isolation skills are a huge positive. Now, you could make the case, I believe, do it quickly, more quickly. It doesn't need to necessarily be a size up of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 dribbles to get into what you do. And will there be cases where the ball should, you know, move side to side? That'll be for Mike to decide, and maybe they should do that more. But I think we have to start framing it in a different sense, that isolation is given a negative term when in the big picture, you better have guys who can beat people off the dribble like Harden can and like Paul can and like Eric Gordon can to a lesser extent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Hakeem Olajuwon was ISO down in the – it looks different, but it was a,
right.
it was a 1-4. It was a different isolation.
Four out, one in,
right.
Give the ball to Olajuwon, and then it was simple. You were either going to single coverage.
If he doubled, he'd kick.
Right.
If not, he was going to take
it. It was the most simple basketball. And that's what the playoffs get reduced to. You look at Toronto, right, who won. everybody talks about, you know, innovative, right? And Nick Nurse, an innovative offensive coach. But in the playoffs, it gets simplified more and more and more. It's transition, early pick and rolls, isolating your best players in space. That's what it becomes to. And, you know, Golden State does it a little bit different, particularly without Durant, and where, you know, there's more movement and it looks better. Does that mean it's more efficient? That's the question for, I think, every team. Does it look more efficient or is it more efficient? And I do believe, though, every team needs as much variety or different ways to score as they can. Because in the playoffs, every playoff series is different. Every roster is constructed differently. And you better have answers in a lot of different ways.
Let me ask you this. Because we've talked about elimination, James. The 11 turnovers against Golden State in the elimination game in 15. The game six against the Spurs when they didn't have Kawhi. The
or Tony Parker.
Or, yeah, 0 for 27. When he's got to pull up and say, okay, I'm going to take this over. They were 0 for 27. Okay, so we've seen it over and over and over again. We saw game six this year against Golden State. Not necessarily on him, but this is an elimination game. Your stars take over. You said before, well, how do they get there if it's not for James Harden? They don't. So James Harden actually has to have some clutch in him. But we see Kawhi. We've seen in the past the guys who are champions, they have this gene. It doesn't seem like James has it.
Well, go back and look at Kawhi's numbers other than the 10-0 run in the fourth in game five. Not a great game.
No.
Game six, actually, when you look. Not a great game.
Good. 22 points. Yeah,
good.
But other guys stepped up to win.
Yeah.
But other guys, okay.
Yeah,
but,
so see, what, but that's I'm the saying is, what I'm saying is you can't have it both ways. You can't say, all right, we're going to look at, you know, like Curry was six for 17 in game six, but he had three heaves, like from 70 feet, so he's six for 14. Was he great? No, all he's done is he's won, so he gets – he gets the benefit of the doubt.
But he got hot in the second half, though.
What I'm saying is, Harden, I agree with some that he's going to have to play better in some games. There's no question. But I also think that we then act like all the stars always play good in these playoff games. And it's just not true.
Right.
So it's not only he who has struggled, so has others.
But you can't have it both ways either. If it's going to be isolation and James Harden's going to be the man and James Harden, you know, we're going to be James Harden-centric all the time, then what the other guys step up. I don't get the ball. I don't have a chance. I don't get to do that. The other guys stepped up in Toronto because we play more of a team game. Although Kawhi was their leader, he scored the third most points in playoff history, but we still play more of a team game. So how can you do both?
When you say team game, are you meaning more movement?
More movement.
More movement.
More shots for everybody?
Well, I think those guys get shots now. Like, you know, when you look at it, the one thing I would say that you could make a case for some of the other players, right, is that they're not dribble, shoot, pass guys. They're being positioned in the right way is that they're a little bit limited on offense. So they're going to be spot-up shooters. The one thing I would say, though, is everybody wants to feel a part of it, right? So could they touch it a little bit more and then get the ball to Harden in space and have him attack? Maybe. Maybe that would make them feel more of a part of it. I don't know.
Yeah. Jeff Van Gundy with us here live, and we are at Wildcat Golf Club for our big, occasionally annual tournament. With ProVision, the beneficiary today.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow. Live from Wildcat Golf Club on Alameda, this is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 live at Wildcat Golf Club, 36 championship holes. If you've got an event, we've got an event here today. If you've got one, come on out. This is the place, the best place to have your golf tournament, especially if you've got a bunch of people. There aren't a lot of courses that have 36 holes, so this is awesome. We're raising money for ProVision today. Coach Jeff Van Gundy, who's on the board, is with us here. He's also solely responsible for America making it to the World Cup. Okay.
Yeah, solely. Yeah.
All right.
I think the 63 players that we had would disagree vehemently with that assertion.
Well, you took like guys like me and Lance and got us to the World Cup, okay?
No, we didn't take people like you and Lance. We took excellent G League players. Excellent G League players just on the cusp, and some have since then, you know, made it. Like two guys at the end of the year were on the Rockets 15-man team that I had coached initially in this World Cup. Chris Chioza from Florida and Michael Frazier from Florida. Both had played at one point with the G League Vipers. And tremendous, you know, like right on the cusp of making it and not making it.
So you head coached them, got them into the World Cup, and now Pop has kicked you to the curb. Right? Are you pissed? Are you gonna?
Yeah, there was a power struggle. He had all the power,
and it was a struggle for you.
Yeah, exactly. No. So the great part about Pop is, you know, he's such a patriot, and he's wanted to do this for so long. And the only thing I was thinking as we were going through this like 2-year qualification process is, what if he's named national team coach? And I failed to get us qualified, and he doesn't. He has no team to coach. He's just named the coach, but we actually have no competitions, and we have no place to go. And so,
like U.S. World Cup
little
team
pressure.
Soccer.
Yeah, exactly.
Little pressure.
Yeah. So it was really one of the great things I've done in my life. USA Basketball is a tremendous organization. Jerry Colangelo, if you remember back when we had some struggles in international competitions, was charged with trying to make it a better situation. He and the head of USA Basketball is Jim Tooley, but the main driver of the USA Basketball men's site is a guy by the name of Sean Ford, who I've known forever. I actually coached his older brother when I was a graduate assistant at Providence like 30 years ago. These guys have made it such a great organization. So now the players want to play. They want to be selected. And they treated these G League guys so great. You know, we were going down to South America, you know, playing on the road in Argentina and Uruguay and sold out venues. And these guys were treated so spectacularly well by USA Basketball that it made the whole process better because we could attract better G League quality players. And so anyway, it was one of the great things I've been able to do. I have such a much better handle on the G League and the G League player. You know, when I was coaching the Rockets, it was used more as a punishment. Like, if you don't start doing what you should, we're going to send you down to Rio Grande Valley, and we may never see you again, right? And now the teams use the G League in such a great developmental way. Anyway, my whole perspective of the G League and the G League player was so impacted from a positive standpoint by my 2-year work with them through the USA Basketball.
And the Rockets have been pretty good at utilizing the G League. They really
have
been. Well,
Daniel House, think about it, right?
Yeah. Huge in what he did.
Utilize them
although
in the playoffs.
We were a little disappointed at Kenneth Reed. Were you surprised at all? I know Mike D'Antoni has a history of shrinking the bench, and a lot of coaches do. I just felt like he's an energy guy that really showed that he could get on the boards, and I thought maybe battle against Draymond's energy and kind of counter it. And then Daniel House, I understand that there's going to be some defensive concerns, probably is what kept him off the court. But at the same time, he is a guy that can fill it up from three. He might be one of your top two shooters as a pure shooter. Were you surprised at all? I know you don't like second-guessing coaches.
No, it's not second-guessing. I like to first guess, right? So When House played in that particular
early
series,
right.
Before that, I thought he had really good moments. I mean, really good. And
right.
But in that series, there was a struggle from a guarding standpoint.
Right. And
that's how it is for most young players, right? So I wasn't surprised by that. And then from a big standpoint, they're going to play one big. You know, they're not going to go with the double big with, like, Fareed and Capella or, you know, Nene and Fareed. So then you have to pick and choose. And I thought Nene gives him – I thought he gave him good minutes.
He did.
Limited minutes, but good minutes. And so I think your choices, you know, you just have to understand that there are going to have to be choices made. And much like backup quarterbacks, whoever you don't play and you lose, then the natural tendency is to think that you would have got a different result
right.
with different combinations.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a younger – he does somewhat – Nene really did play well, although this year he wasn't a factor – like he was the year before from a regular season standpoint. But then Nene, the tough guy and the pro that he is, just really showed up. And I thought that wouldn't be a great matchup for him playing against Golden State. I thought they'd switch him. I thought Golden State did a lot less ISO switches like we've seen in the past where they try to just find the right switch for
Curry or
Curry.
Yeah.
I thought it was really more of, hey, let's get Curry on the move more this year. They did change what they do offensively a little bit.
Yeah, they did a good job. And listen, it was right there for the Rockets. I mean, all said and done, right? What beat the Rockets as much this year as anything was their 11-14 start. If they start great, they have home court.
Yep.
And I refuse to believe that if Durant goes out and they have home court, that they get beat.
You said something to us years ago that has impacted us. I know me for sure, but I know John also because we've talked about this before. You pointed out to us when we were at our old radio station at 1560 about the narrative on Tracy McGrady. And when you actually look at it, Tracy elevated in the playoffs, but he couldn't get through, right? Tracy can't win in the playoffs. Tracy can't win in the playoffs. And then we went and looked on Basketball Reference like, crap, coach is right. Everything goes up. And so I've always used that. And that's the one thing that I point out to people who talk about James and they try to throw numbers out. This is his regular season field goal percentage as a Rocket, 44-3. Playoffs, it's 41-2. Three-pointer, 36-4. Playoffs, 32-2. Rebounds go down slightly from 6 to 5.7. Assists down slightly, 7.7 to 7. Turnovers up very slightly from 4.4 to 4.5. Points per game, 29 down to 28.2 in the playoffs. But then efficiency rating, which is big to Daryl Morey, it's down more than 10% from 26.5 regular season to 23.5. And I've always used that Tracy McGrady indicator of how does a guy actually play in the postseason, right? Don't tell me about his record because it is a team game. What is the consistency of his performance? And I think that's the one area that concerns me a little bit is I don't see, and this went from just being a three-year to a four-year. Now we got a seven-year sample size. That's extensive. And I use that same McGrady eye test, not the eye test, but the numbers.
Right.
And I do see a consistent lowering of those numbers with James. But I also believe, I also tell people this, when Dream won championships, it wasn't these amazing, he had a game or two, but it was other guys rising to the occasion. Sam Cassell against you guys. It was Mario Elie. It was Robert Horry.
What about James Loren in the playoffs?
So, listen, it shouldn't just be us discussing this. I'm sure the Rockets are discussing it. But the big one is for Harden to look at that and say, okay, why? Why? Is it because you're only playing against the very best teams and you're playing, you know, because he's gone so far in the playoffs – you're going into the, you know, Western Conference Finals, you're going into the semifinals, and so those are the better defensive teams, and that's a little bit of the drop? Or is it that I can do something a little bit differently to make myself just a little bit more efficient? Because it's not like you're not close. It doesn't need to be a huge jump in efficiency. You're looking for little
right.
margins that you can change to head you in the right direction. So it doesn't matter what fans discuss or what even teams discuss. I think this goes back to player evaluation where you look inwardly and say, what must I do differently? Or what am I willing to sacrifice to win more. And I think that has to start from your best players. If your best players are all into winning, then they will be also all into sacrifice. Anything less than acknowledging my need to sacrifice or my need to change, it's really easy as a player to say, he's got to do, you know, my teammates have got to do X, Y, and Z different, but I'm fine. No, no. You got to look inward first, and once you evaluate inward, then you can lead the others. But it has to start with inward evaluation.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.